The landmark Supreme Court case Gideon v. Wainwright declared that anyone accused of a crime must be provided with a lawyer, whether a defendant could afford it or not. Public defenders fill this role today, but not everyone gets access to an attorney. For instance, immigrants in civil courts facing detention or deportation have no right to a court-appointed attorney and are left to advocate for themselves. A new program out of the Cardozo Law School here in New York has started the Immigrant Family Unity Project. It's a program that provides indigent immigrants representation in detention and deportation proceedings, regardless of whether they can pay. Judge Robert Katzman, Chief Judge of the U.S. Second Circuit of Appeals, came up with the program, first of its kind in the country. Judge, welcome.
It's an honor to be here.
I'm wondering, when you make a program like this, are you responding to a legal doctrine you think is already there? Or are you encouraging the courts and the legislatures to basically create a new doctrine?
The way that I see my role is as promoting the fair and effective administration of justice. And what I saw as a judge, where our caseload, immigration caseload, at one point approached 40% of our docket, I saw a woeful lack of adequate representation for immigrants. And too often I had the feeling that if only there were a good lawyer, the outcome might have been different. And so what I'm really trying to do is to promote the idea that our system depends upon fair and effective representation, that adequate counsel helps the immigrant, it helps the court system to function as it should.
What do you say to the charge that this is a freebie for illegal immigrants who have already committed a crime, in a sense?
Well, what I say is that ours is a system which depends upon the idea that human beings in court should have an adequate shot at securing the fair and equitable administration of justice. And what we're talking about in New York City is we're talking about 500,000 non-citizens who live in poverty, and 3,500 of whom face deportation every year, which means separation from families. And if you separate families, you get at the core of family structure that leads to instability, that leads to increased demands on the public fisc. If you can keep families together, you have productive citizens, and so everyone from a societal point of view benefits from keeping families together. So representation not only achieves justice, but it facilitates the achievement of other societal goals.
Hence the name, the Immigrant Family Unity Project. Avoiding deportation avoids the breakup of the family. But then let's talk for a moment. I mean, the Gideon decision explicitly said that in criminal courts, people would be given access to attorneys because there was an understanding that the consequences of an improper criminal penalty would be draconian for a defendant who only couldn't afford an attorney. Do you see the consequences in civil court for immigrants to be equally draconian, that they approach essentially criminal penalties if a defendant should lose?
Well, there are similarities between the two, and I don't want to step beyond where I might be deciding cases, but I would say that the penalty of deportation is very much akin to a criminal penalty and often arises because of the application of criminal laws. And so I think that providing counsel for non-citizens is something that is very consistent with the notion of equal access to justice.
What's the likelihood that this kind of a program would be adopted elsewhere in the United States? And as a judge advocating for this, do you give it more or less credibility since it's coming directly from you?
Well, I think of myself as a representative of the administration of justice. And what's been great about this project is that we've had complete cooperation from the Department of Homeland Security, from the Department of Justice, all of whom see this as a way of moving cases more quickly along. So I think that this model can be very useful in other parts of the country. It's historic because it's the first example of locally government-funded counsel, assigned counsel. So it could provide, if fully funded, it could provide counsel in all cases involving deportations in New York. And there's no reason why the model couldn't be exported elsewhere. There's another piece to all this, and that is increasing the supply of effective counsel. And next year, we hope to announce the implementation of an immigrant justice corps of newly minted lawyers and senior lawyers working together along the same model as the Peace Corps and VISTA, working on cases for immigrants.
From the bench, have you ever seen the impact on a defendant of getting an attorney that they didn't expect to get before we go?
Absolutely. Having a good attorney makes all the difference.
And that's an emotional and a legal consequence there. Judge Robert Katzman is Chief Judge of the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Next on The Takeaway, the speech President John Kennedy never gave almost 50 years ago. Shauna from Dallas, Texas, was there on that fateful day.
I was standing on Main Street with my mom and my sister, and a strange lady grabbed my hand and pulled me to the front of the crowd. I made direct eye contact with Jackie Kennedy, and it was amazing. And it wasn't until we started to go to the car that we realized something bad had happened down the way. It's a wonderful memory for me, and a sad day as well.
Pat from Portland, Oregon. I remember hearing about the assassination when I was stationed in England. I was in the Air Force, and it was 11 o'clock or so at night, and I had the radio on, and I was the only one up in the BOQ. For a while, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. And then I got up and started running around the building and knocking on the doors and waking everybody up. We got together and huddled and listened to the news, and everybody was just speechless.
Share your memories at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's our number. Much more at thetakeaway.org.